I was thinking about the fact that we're almost halfway through the year, and you know, what we've been doing for this half of the year really has been exploring what it means to follow Jesus, and understanding that what, you know, it looks like for us, since he's not physically here, right? What it means for us is that we're becoming like him. When we say we're following Jesus, it's not like, there he is, I'm following him, right? It's, I'm becoming more like him. That's the focus of this idea of becoming or following him. It's because I want to become more like him. So I felt like it might be interesting to kind of hear from folks in terms of a progress report, right? How's that going? How are you doing in your, you know, walk with the Lord and you're following him to really allow him to become like him? And so I'm going to give you a minute to think about that. I just want to share a few other things with you, and then we're going to let others share tonight as well. But so just be thinking about that, and if you want to share a little bit of your progress. You know, I can tell you for me personally that the thing that is still gripping my heart so greatly is this idea that, you know, that he's made me one with him, which means that his characteristics are mine. You know, his character traits, you know, the whole thing about the fruit of the Spirit, we kind of see that as, you know, kind of separate, but it's in us. So that's been a fascinating thing for me. But I also want to just touch on something tonight that the Lord's been really kind of pushing me on, because he wants to take us farther in terms of what we experience when we gather here, right? So 1 Corinthians 14:26 is one of the most important little scriptures for a group like us that you could ever have, right? And that's where he says, you know, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. That's what the verse says, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I was re-looking at this again this week, I was struck by a couple things. The first one here, it says, when you assemble, not if. Right? It's a when you assemble, which means what? It means that we're those that have a high value, right? We're part of those who have a high value for coming together, okay? So just, you know, do me a favor right now. Turn to somebody and say, thank you for being a when person and not an if.
Thank you for being a when person, not an if.
Right? Because that's important.
When person, not an if.
Yeah.
Why you said another way over there? I'm sorry.
See how we do it right here? We just call you right out.
You gotta come over, baby.
She likes that side. Well, I'm about to mess you up even
like
more
a
with something.
So
it says, when you assemble. Now, think about the word assemble. Right? What comes to mind when you hear the word assemble?
Put together.
Right. It's taking different parts of something and putting together. Right? When I was a boy, they had these things that it was either you got Lincoln Logs or you got an Erector set, right? Which was metal. Anybody? Scott? Yeah. You had both. Yeah, me too.
Tinker Toys.
And nowadays, right? Tinker Toys.
Legos.
Today it's Legos or Kinects or toys like that for the kids to put stuff together, right? So we understand the idea of assembling. But what I think we're learning is, what does it mean for us when we gather together to assemble? Okay? We assemble the various parts of the body of Christ into a unity around Jesus. Right? We're being unified around Christ, and he's bringing us together and putting the parts together the way he sees fit. So let me do something for you right now to help you break free of whatever kinds of things that might be holding you back from a level of freedom that he wants you to have. Okay? Everybody stand up. Okay? And we're going to do a prophetic act right now. And what I want you to do is I want you to go take one of these front row chairs, okay? And put the chair wherever you think you should be in the room right now.
Take the chair.
I'm serious. I want you to physically take one of these chairs.
It's hard to do that because they're connected.
And put it anywhere that you want, that you feel like, this is good. I'm comfortable here. This is where I should be. Okay? I don't care where it is.
I know exactly where I'm going.
I was going to put it right back at my other spot.
Were you really? That's pretty sad. Okay.
Do I stand by the chair?
Do you stand by it? Well, chairs are for sitting.
Are we going to have to sit here all night? Or those
where should they go? I don't know. This is your place. This is your chair. She's going to sit there and see if she can get a tan. Look at that.
I want to go with other people because we're assembling together.
Oh, look at that. God's being spiritual now. Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay. All right. So, now look around. Look around. What do you see? You see a mess. Right?
Some disconnect going on.
Well, I don't call myself a mess.
I'm not saying you're a mess. But what I want you to see is that
it's not lining up.
Right. There's no order the way we think of order. Okay? And so what you just did right now was to act out a level of permission that you have to change the environment when we gather.
Wow.
You moved your chair. Jackie, you got to move your chair. You got to take a chair and move it somewhere where you think the Lord wants you to be or where you think.
She came back in and she's so confused.
All right? Right? So just wherever you think it should be, right? Okay? So what you've done, right, you have taken the nice ordered row of chairs that are in this place, right, and you totally messed it up. It's ugly. If somebody comes in here with a religious spirit, they're going to say, you people are jacked up, man. You people are jacked up. Exactly. Right? But the idea is that we have permission from the Lord to affect the environment that we live in. And the environment that we gather in. Okay? I've told you before, I hate these bros. Right? Because everybody hides in them. I'm comfortable here, you know, if there's enough people, you won't see me. I can hide. And God's saying, no, that's not allowed anymore. That's not allowed. Because what we bring into this place is necessary that we all share it. Okay? So when you assemble, now you look at this and say, how is this an assembly? You know what? If the Lord put it in this order, it's an assembly.
Amen.
Okay? This is his assembly, right? Because he's the head. All right? You feel a little more free now? Right? Okay. So when you assemble, it says each one has something. Who is the each one?
We all have something.
Are you part of the each one?
Yes. Well, I am.
She's over in the corner.
We put Rose in this. What are you trying to say?
Out of the place.
Is that the timeout corner? No, each one, right? So I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, I qualify. Right? Exactly. You qualify to be part of the each one. All right? Because you're his, right? So then it says each one has different things. Each one has a psalm. What do you think of when you think of psalms?
Songs.
Praise.
Right.
Song.
Song. Right? Praise. Worship. Okay? It's really any way that you want to express your love for the Lord in a public way. In a public way. Okay? So
So that could be any kind of expression. Right? Somebody could come up and they could read a poem as their song. Right? If you got the talent, you could rap. If I did that, it would be a comedy show. Right? Okay. So there's, but there's many different ways that that could be expressed. Right? How would you do that? I'm not going to ask you to share that, but think about how would you do that? Okay? What if all the songs that we sing here don't have to be picked by the worship team? What would that look like? What would it look like for you to say, hey, you know what? I feel like God wants us to sing this song. Right? And even if we didn't know it, we would sing it a cappella. Or you would sing it by yourself because we don't know it. How scary is that? Okay? But that's what I'm trying to say. God's trying to blow the doors off the remaining religious limitations that we have put on ourselves when it comes to gathering. Okay? It says each one has a psalm, has a teaching. You mean get up here and have a 3-point sermon prepared? No. In this context, you know, we want to share bite-sized chunks of revelation, of teaching, of the word that we get. Right? Now, I know that I have violated that rule tremendously over the past number of months, where I've come in here and I've talked for 45, 50 minutes at a time, okay? And while sometimes, you know, there is a need for that at times, because what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to lay a foundation, you know what I'm saying? So there's been times when, yeah, I've had to kind of give more sense of teaching. But here's the point. We're going to a place where we all get to participate on some level. I won't need to have long times of teaching because you guys have got it. You understand. You're living out this union with Christ, and He's moving through you to bless His body. That's what we're after, right? So each one has a teaching. Yeah, you could bring a teaching. Okay, we're going to see tonight what that looks like. Okay? Each one has a revelation. Oh my gosh, what's that? Right? When you think of revelation, what are we talking about?
Hearing what the Lord has to say.
Right? What do we call that?
Prophecy.
Prophecy, exactly. It's not a trick question. Right? And what are the different ways that prophecy can come? What are the different ways the Lord will speak?
A word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge, right?
Impressions.
Dream.
Well, if you're sleeping here, that's fine.
A vision.
Exactly. Right? You could go into a trance, right? You could hear the literal voice of God. There's so many different possibilities in terms of how He wants to speak it. And there's so many different possibilities in how He wants to release that word. What if God told you, I want you to act out what I just shared with you? I want you to just act it out like you're on a stage. Right? That's legal. Right? You could sing it. You could speak it. You could write it down. There's all kinds of different ways that we get to release that word, the Lord. Right? How do you like the mess you see coming in here? Isn't this cool? Yeah? I told everybody to take a chair and sit wherever they felt like they should be. Okay? Just so you understand what we're doing, why this looks so fun here. Right? So, each one has a revelation, each one has a tongue and an interpretation. Now, we don't do that a lot here. We don't have public messages in tongues that we interpret, but we can do that. Right? We can do that. So I wanted to just kind of, you know, run over this thing a little bit again, you know, to kind of help you all understand that we've got such incredible freedom to minister from the Lord to each other, and that He wants that.
okay?
He absolutely wants that. I posted something today on Facebook that the Lord, you know, gave me. And I was conversing with somebody else at the time, and the Lord gave me this. And I said, this is good. I'm going to post this, right? Jesus defined church as two or three who gather together in His name. And He promised to show up, always to show up, when that happens, right? But He's not showing up to merely observe, but to lead. Okay? So He's here. He wants to lead this mess. Well, it looks like a mess to us. He's in charge. If you're surrendered to the Lord, guess what? Right? He's able to make sense out of what looks like nonsense to us. And I love that. Okay? So the last thing it says is, let all things be done for edification. Ready? All things. What's the meaning of all? All. Right? The Greek word there means all. Let all things be done. What's the only criteria in that verse? The only thing that you need to measure to make sure that what you're doing is right.
Edification.
Right. Whatever it is you're going to do, in some way, it needs to build up and strengthen your brothers and sisters. If it meets that criteria, then it's good. But that's a command. Let all things be done for edification. Right? Could you take anything else off in terms of limitation? It's all it's God, except for edification. If your heart is to strengthen your brother and sister, we want to let it be done in this place. Amen? So I had mentioned earlier that I felt like it would be good to kind of give a progress report in terms of where we are in this journey that we're having in terms of becoming like Jesus, following Him, and becoming like Him. Okay? Anybody want to give a quick testimony on that? All right, moving right along. Patrice, I want you to share a little bit about what God's been doing through you as you've been pursuing this thing, because I'm excited about that.
So, you know, part of what we're supposed to be doing is praying for healing for people. And so I take that seriously, and I'm like, Lord, I want that, because all my life I've been around so many Christians and haven't seen that at all, and that is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, I think. So any opportunity I get, I'm praying for people that are injured in any kind of way or hurting in any kind of way. And one of the places that I do this is the studio where I go to work out. And it's like, I'm not like naturally a nosy person, but they tell our trainer like everything. And so honestly, I'm like, and like afterwards, I'm like, hey, I pray for people for healing. I'm practicing, and people take me up on it. And I'll tell like three quick stories. So one woman, she her knee was hurting her. It was an older woman, and she's on a bike as I went to pray for her. And I said, so I'm just gonna lay hands on you and everything. And I prayed really quickly. And we didn't say anything. I honestly forget to say, hey, try out the part that hurt or whatever. I forget all about that. So I left her. And as I left the studio, I said in my car, and I said, I declare that when I see her again, she's going to tell me how good she felt, you know, throughout the week. And the next week when I saw her, she said, girl, I've been telling everybody about you. I feel so good. Just inviting, you know. And then I'm forgetting the second one, but there's a lot of them. But the one that was like really struck me this week was a friend of mine who she always says, I want you to pray because you believe the same way I believe, and all. It's not this wishy-washy, you know, it be your will, Lord, kind of prayer. And so a friend of hers who is 44 years old. Her arteries were all clogged, and they were talking that she had to do a bypass surgery and all. And so I said, all right. And I said, I don't just typically say, yes, I'm praying. I'll a lot of times pray right then and there and with the person and all. And so I typed out a whole prayer, and I didn't know she was with her in that moment. She showed her the prayer and everything, and we all agreed. And the surgeon, before the surgery, said that part of her heart had died, and that he was just going to unclog her arteries as best he could, and it would take maybe 3 months or more to see what a difference it would make and all. And I was like, nope. And so we, you know, mm-hmm. we prayed against that and everything. And the day after her surgery, the doctor comes in doing the scratch your head kind of thing, and he's like, I was pretty sure that part of her heart was dead, but her heart is functioning perfectly.
I love it.
Stuff like that is happening like every day. Really exciting. Really
exciting. That's so good.
That's awesome.
Love it. I mean, what I love so much about the way she's doing that is, you know, she's just being humble, saying, hey, I'm practicing how, you know, to pray for healing. I mean, you know, somebody's got to be pretty hardcore to reject that kind of an approach. You know what I mean? And the same would go, you know, for you wanting to give somebody a word. You could say, hey, you know, I'm kind of practicing how to hear God's voice for people, and I think he said this to me to give to you, right? I mean, we can do that, you know, as a way of kind of breaking the ice with people, you know, as opposed to, thus saith God, right? We don't need that, right? So that's really cool. And I also want to just give Jackie a chance to share on some things that the Lord put on her heart this week in the area of soaking in his presence, which the Lord spoke to us about last week, that we were going to all try to do that. I failed miserably this week. I just have to be real with you. I honestly did not make any time to soak. Can you believe that? I should just leave now. Okay. I'm just being honest. It was a crazy week. And so I've got to really, you know, be a little more intentional about making the time to do that, so that I get the benefit of what Jackie's going to talk about right now.
Praise God. You know how you try to prepare for something, you write all these notes and you do all this studying and research, and then God just has a way of just like saying, just go share your experience on soaking. I first want to start off by saying that I just finished a fast on Saturday that I was the Lord had called me to. And I had touched on it last Sunday about some of the things that the Lord revealed to me, right? So my fast consisted of giving up certain meals, trying to eat healthy, you know, and repenting and stuff, you know, things of that nature I brought before the Lord, right? So I was like two weeks and a half into my fast of eating healthy foods and things of that nature. And then the Lord just stopped me and he said, I didn't want you to give up your food. I wanted you to give up your attitude, you know? And I was like, I started laughing. I said, Lord, you got jokes. But, you know, and that just goes to show that when he's putting stuff together, he has his way of doing it. Like you said, like Russ said, in a mess, he works in that mess, you know? And my way of thinking and planning my fast was giving up certain foods because I'm believing God for supernatural weight loss, and I'm going there, you know? Praise God, from 218, I'm down to 204. It's a slow process, but it's happening, you know? And so I'm practicing to eat the right foods, not so I can look sexy or good, that helps, but it's basically just to be healthy, you know, just to be healthy. So that was the reason, one of the things that I had lifted up before the Lord regarding not starting off my fast, okay, but he took me to fasting my attitude, you know, about how I view myself and my approach to things and even people, you know, because sometimes I can get funky and I'm not ashamed to say I'm only human, you know. But the other thing, as I was finishing my fast, the Lord started speaking to me more so about spending more time with him, and that's where the soaking comes in, okay? there's a lot of controversy about soaking, that the word is not in the Bible and this and that, that is mystical, that is Hinduism, and, you know, I'm like, I don't care about that. I'm a seasoned Christian. I walk with the Lord. God walks with me. He's inside of me. And if I want to call it soaking, soaking it is. But I name my time with the Lord, come away with me, my beloved. And I'll tell you why. Based on my experience, many years ago when I had gotten saved, when I got saved many years ago, and I didn't know how to pray. Okay, I didn't know how to pray. And I heard a lot of people tell me, you got to focus on the Lord. You got to wait on the Lord. So guess what? I didn't know what it meant to focus on the Lord. I didn't know what it meant to wait on the Lord. You know, folks that are religious like to tell you these things, but they leave you halfway. You know, they don't really tell you how to do it. So I'm like, okay, Lord, like, what does focusing on you means? And what does waiting on you mean? So the only thing that I can remember doing was, my children were very young at the time, and I had this thing where I like cleaning during the night when they're sleeping, you know, and I, you know, play my music and stuff like that. And like I said, I didn't know how to pray. I had the Bible there, but I wasn't really understanding. I was a baby Christian. I didn't know how to tap into God's presence, none of that. I was just starting to learn. So anyway, I just felt like I needed to just turn down the lights, keep the music going, the kids were sleeping, and just lie on the floor, okay, and just lie there in the dark and just listen to the music and listen to the music and listen to the music, listen to the music. I found myself in a place with God, believe it or not, and he said to me, this is what it means to wait. When you lie before me, not thinking of anything, not asking for anything, just lie before me in the quiet, you know, and just waiting on me to come to you. You know, I tell you, I had to go to work the next day. I don't remember sleeping, okay? I was there for many, many hours, and that was my very first encounter with God. Okay, although I didn't have no vision, it was just a warmth, a feeling of love, a feeling of acceptance. I didn't know it was called soaking. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew that I was with God because I felt the peace and because I felt the joy. You know, as time went on, it became the more, this is what it was for me. I started practicing it, and I'm going to tell you why I practiced it. Because I couldn't talk to nobody, okay? I came to know the Lord because of the tragedy that took place in my family, and my own family turned against me. I couldn't talk to anybody, and when I found out through the Word of God that I could talk to Him, that I could wait on Him, and that I could just lay there, so guess what? From that night, I started practicing, spending that time with God, talking to God about everything. I even said to God, God, this is me. This is Jackie. What you see is what you get. You know, if you need to change anything, you're going to have to do it. That's how I talked to God, because he became my all. He became my everything, my friend. He listened to me. He didn't judge me. You know, and all this came from spending that time with him. Okay? And I remember there was just one night that I said, Lord, I was like going through some things. You know, I was missing my family. And I was like, Lord, if you're really there, and if you really love me, like your word says, I want you to touch my hands. And I lifted up my hands before the Lord, okay, both of my hands. I said, I want you to touch me. I just need to know that you're here. I just need to feel you, Lord. And I kid you not, I felt the Lord touch my hands. It felt like big, gigantic hands, but it was good. I was like, I just started weeping and weeping and weeping and just thanking God because he answered my prayer, because he touched my hand. And when he touched me, I just felt just like a surge of joy and peace, and like this heat go through my body. And guess what? After that, I practiced some more because I liked it. It was good. I couldn't wait to get home from work, okay, cook the meals for my kids, get them bathed, play around, whatever, get to the bed, just to spend that time with God again. I mean, till the midnight hour, to almost daybreak. I didn't care. I just needed to spend that time with God. That's how important it was to me, because I found myself in Him. You see? I found myself in Him. I found that I was valuable. I found that I'm the apple of His eye. I found that I'm beautiful, because all these things were going on, you know. All these things was going on in my mind, and God was just healing my wound, and He was just, you know, setting me free, you know. So going back to soaking, I like to call it quiet time. I like to call it a time of coming away with God, you know. A time where you just don't have to ask for anything. It's just be quiet in His presence. Let Him fill you up. Let him touch you. Let Him heal you where you need to be healed, because I received much healing from damaging emotions. I received much healing in my body physically. I mean, my mind is just the love mostly. I experienced the love of God in that time. And like when Russ mentioned this last week, it was like, boom. There you go, because I've been asking God, Lord, I know you want me to share, and I know I've been repenting, and I know you pointed me to share, but what should I share? And I thought about soaking, because it was something I did in the school of supernatural, and I said, but there was so much more. When Russ said it last Sunday, I was like, there it goes. It was just like highlighted. And I said, okay, so what am I going to share? And he said, talk about your experience. Talk about your experience with me. Let others know that the more time you spend with me, the more you come to know me, the more I come to really touch your life and really to just embrace you, you know, with my love. Let others know what you experience. I can't say what God did for Evelyn. I can only tell you what God is doing in me when I spend that time with the Lord, where He gives me words and He gives me dreams and He gives me visions. I remember there was another time we were in class. It was our first year in class, and we had an exercise where we had to lay down, listen to the music, and just picture Jesus in front of you. And we did that. And I kid you not, I saw the face of Jesus, but guess what I saw? Many different faces in this one face. And they were all different colors. You understand? I cried. I weep like a baby, because it was so beautiful, okay? We went and we did the exercise again that same night. I don't know, Scott, if you remember anyone that attended the class, okay? And the first year, yes. And the second time we did the exercise, I ended up in China. I'm like, whoa, you know? It's like He took me, well, China, I'm going to say Asian people. It could have been China, who knows where it was, but I was in a place where there were Asian people. And it all came from just that time, laying before the Lord, not asking for anything, just in that quietness. And He took me to that place. You know, and it was just so, so awesome. And so they said, I'm not going to be before you long, okay, but I do have a CD that I want you to really tap into, to listen, and just allow God to be God in you. I mean, one of the other things is that I just want to touch on really quick, like, I want to go back to those who say, well, soaking is not in the Bible. The word soaking is not in the Bible. Da, 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 da. There's many scriptures. No, soaking is not in the Bible as far as the word soaking. But God does call us to a place of quietness. Yes. Okay, God does call us to a place of rest. There are scriptures that He's telling you to wait on Him, okay? For example, Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. See, those are the scriptures that ministered to me. Psalms 27:14 also said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then it goes on and it goes on and goes on. And I'll say to you, if you want to know more about it, Google it. I mean, now we have the technology, we can Google it, you know, and He gives you a lot of scriptures regarding soaking. I just, you know, I can stand here and tell you many things that I experienced being in that presence. I am a woman of prayer. I love intercession. but I love the encounters that I have had with God. Yeah. And I'm asking Him for more of those encounters, but not just for me, but that you would also encounter God in that place and come and get closer to God, because we have that advantage. It's not like people of the world. You know, people of the world, they soak. People that don't know God, they soak also to make business decisions, but they don't have Jesus. We do. He lives inside of us, and we don't really have to come before Him and ask Him for anything, because it's already ours. As long as you know it's already yours, just lay there and just love Him, you know, just adore Him, and He will meet you right where you are, because He's met me and He still continues to meet me. And I'm just so thankful, and I just want to share these songs, this three songs. And what I would like for you to do is pick a place where you can be alone with God. Lay down, sit down, with whatever makes you comfortable, and go to that place and allow Him to speak to you. And don't fall asleep, okay? And I would like for some of you to share what you experienced. You know, with if time permits, that you could just share what you experienced, because the Spirit of God is here. He's in us. He's all through this place. And He desires to just love on us and just to embrace us and just to touch us in those areas that we need to be touched without even asking Him. Because it's already been given to us, you know. And I just want you to, this CD, I've been listening to it for past 2 weeks now. I just want you to embrace it as well and see what God gives you in that, you know. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I call your spirit forward so that you can receive all that Jesus has for you in this time of soaking before Him. Not asking for anything, but just allowing Him to be God in you. Just allowing Him to love you. Just allowing Him to enfold Himself in you. So as you take this time, just open your mind up just to receive of Him. Thank you. Call it what you want. I like to call it coming away with me, my beloved, because that's what He spoke to me. That's how He got my attention. You know, the more I practiced, the more He spoke, the more He showed Himself to me. And, you know, like I was saying earlier before about the controversy and people not feeling comfortable with that. But we have a privilege to come before God at any time. And my special time and my experience is just that time where I take time just to be with Him, you know. And sometimes it's not music. Sometimes I'll play the audio with scriptures. Mm. And I'll just listen to the scriptures. And He speaks to me. He speaks back to me concerning the word. He reveals things to me. So it's awesome just to have that time with God and that understanding, you know.
One other thing. I want to just say this to you guys. You know, what I am so blessed right now, because I am personally connecting with more of you right now than ever before. I'm engaged on a personal level with more of you that come to Heaven's Invasion than ever before. Okay? And I want you to be aware that that's God. Alright? The Lord is really putting us together in a very special way. And how many of you were here last Sunday? Okay, so good. Last Sunday, we released some Destiny words. Okay? Very cool. And I want to do that again tonight for anybody that wants that. But I had an interesting experience with the Lord a few weeks back where He surprised me with a clarification of my destiny and gave me a new Destiny word. Right? This was right from Him. This was, I was posting something on Facebook. You might have caught it. It was one of these pictures. You know how Facebook will show you a picture that you posted a year or two before, right? They have this time hop thing, right? Well, it showed me a picture that I had taken of Debbie when we had gone to one of these gardens. You know, she loves taking photographs of flowers, close-ups and whatnot. She's just amazing with that. And so I took a picture with my cell phone of her taking a picture of a flower. So it was like one of those things. And it popped back up, and I reposted it. And what I wrote down, this was God.
Because I wrote down this. I said, I love my role as a dream releaser. And that phrase, dream releaser, I'd never heard that before. Okay? And I, you know, as I wrote this, I realized that that was a major part of my role in her life, was to help her identify the dreams and the passions that she had and to make a way for her to pursue them and watch them come to pass. And so, because I allowed God to do that in and through me, it's like He was wanting me to know that I am now free to do that for others. And so I am now identifying myself as a dream releaser. Okay? So that the dreams that God puts in people, right? Those dreams, many times you don't even realize what it is because it gets so, you know, covered over and encrusted by life and by circumstances and difficulties and trials that, you know, it's hard to really even think that you have a dream because you're always in survival mode, right? And then there's others that start to get a glimpse of the dream that God's put in their heart, but it looks like it's so unattainable. How do I get there? How do I make this happen? How will it ever happen? I'm not, you know, qualified, I'm not worthy, all these different things that war against that dream becoming fulfilled in your life. You know, Lou Engle, who leads the Justice House of Prayer, he said something one time that just blew my mind. He said, God had a dream and wrapped your body around it.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that's just such a fantastic concept. And so, in my personal development, God had spoken to me many years ago and said that I want leaders who will do three things. I'm looking for leaders who will equip, who will train, and who will release my people. And that's been a motto of mine now, probably for the past almost 15 years. Okay? Equip, train, and release. And now what God has done is He has refined that for me even more to say that you're a dream releaser. Why am I telling you this? Because you've decided that you're supposed to connect with me. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
That is so true.
I'm serious. You would not be here unless God was doing something in your life that said, Kurt, connect with this guy. I mean, I'm not trying to make myself out to be anything special. I don't, you know what I mean? This is just God. And I feel like He's wanting me just to, I don't know, extend the invitation one more time, you know? As I said, I'm so blessed that I'm now connecting with more of you than I've ever done in my life. And the satisfaction that I get out of walking with you and helping you to get where God's called you to go is just crazy. Okay? And so I'm just bringing that forth one more time to say, I'm here. Alright? You got a dream, not sure what it is, or you think you know what it is, but you don't know how to get there. This is why I'm here. I'm here to help release people into their dreams. Okay? So I just wanted to kind of share that. I felt like the Lord said to do that. So it's not, I hope you don't feel like I'm just being self-promotion here or something like that. Because that's, you know, I never talk about myself. You know, God practically has to smack me over the head with a 2x4 before I'll talk about, you know, what He's called me to. But this dream release thing, it was just such a surprise that it was like, oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. I really like that.
This is so funny because just as you said,
yeah.
Today, either today or yesterday in the evening, I was saying, I need to call Russ. I need to talk to him. There's something I need. This is what I'm thinking about myself, and I need to call him. Even if it is on the phone, or we're going to meet somewhere, I need to talk to him.
Wow. Okay. I would qualify that as confirmation.
Yes.
That's awesome. Do you want to share something
too? I just want to tell you that last night I had a dream that we were here. Wow.
And that there's a lot of healing going on. But the interesting part is that, yes, God knew we were going to share. You were praying over people, and you were giving them permission to go and do what God has called them to do.
Whoa.
Wow. And, you know, at one point, we prayed over Jackie, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. I can help her and like, this. And you were like, no, you have your own call.
Wow.
You know, yeah, you can do that, but you have your own call. You have to go do what, you know, what your thing is.
Sure.
And I was like, that sounds really cool. And you were like, no. You have to go do your own thing. So I just wanted to tell you that that to me is confirmation of what God is.
Okay.
You know,
awesome. Wow.
That's awesome.
That's neat. That's neat. And let me just say that, you know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with us partnering. Okay? I believe that we're supposed to partner. So even though in the dream I was very adamant about you not doing what she was doing, right? You got to interpret that in terms of your own context, that you know, how I would interpret that, and you can, you know, if you don't think it's right, is that maybe that's been your go-to move. I'm going to go and help somebody else out. And so when we're in, we have that as a, you know, our natural response is, you know, oh, that's good, let me go help them. You know, it can become something that prevents us from pursuing what we're truly called to. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's what how I would interpret that sort of thing. Not that God is saying, no, don't work with other people, because I love it when, I mean, most of us here, we're here because we carry a similar set of values, right? We really do. And so there's gonna be a lot of this working together and synergy and you know, seeing things blow up, because, you know, one puts 1,000 to flight, but two put, what? 10,000. You know, that's more than simply addition or whatever. It's multiplication right there. You know, we multiply our effectiveness and our anointing when we intentionally work together on stuff, right? So that's why I'm excited about what's possible in terms of, Lord, show us. You know, and he shows us, and I got to stop because, boy, I start preaching. Really, this is so easy to start preaching. He shows us according to the passions in our own hearts. You understand that? The things that really excite you, that you like, oh, I love this, right? That's God saying, yeah, I made you that way. It's okay. You can go after that. Right? Because, listen, all of us have reached a point in our life now where we're not interested in being selfish and fleshly in our pursuits, right? We're not about that. We're trying to do what he wants. Right? And when you've reached that point where you've settled that he's Lord, he's the boss. God, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. How many times have you prayed that? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Right? But what we're usually not ready for is when he turns around and says, okay, what do you want to do? But Lord, it's whatever you want. I know. What do you want to do? See? Because what he wants is for us to do what he made us to do. And what he made us to do is something we're going to want to do, that we're going to enjoy doing, that we'll be good at, because he made us that way. You know? Do you remember, how many of you remember the days when people were terrified to surrender their lives to Jesus because they didn't want God to send them to Africa to be a missionary? I grew up in that world, guys.
Wow.
That was it, you know? It's like, oh, you know, if you really give your life to God, he probably...
Really?
Yes! Wow. I kid you not. That's what religion does to you. It distorts the picture of Father, right? He's a good daddy. He knows how he made us. And he wants us to simply function in that. Because, oh, man.
If you have kids, you understand this. And if you don't have kids, but you've seen this, you'll understand this. How much joy a parent has in watching their child enjoying something.
Yeah.
You know, you see a kid, and they're just having fun. They're oblivious to the world, and they're just like so wrapped up in whatever they're doing, and they're just enjoying it to the hilt. That's very satisfying to a parent. To anybody that cares for that child, you feel that. It's like, wow, that is so cool. Well, he has it to the nth degree. He feels that way to the nth degree when we are doing those things that we are so in love with because he made us that way, to love that stuff, to care about that stuff. Amen? Something wrong, something's changed.